1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
My name is Anthea Blackwood. I'm a professional killer. Have been for 17 years now. You might ask yourself, how does one get into the business of taking lives for cash? Well, as with so many things in life, the course ended up flowing in a direction that could never have been anticipated. It was at the age of 16 that I first... For crying out loud!
Lenny, your radio just exploded.
Better. No time for reminiscing now, though. This evening, it's strictly business. Because the moment Spats Maroney steps out in front of the Armbruster Arms, it's lights out for Mr. Maroney and $20,000 in the bank for me. And he should be stepping out on foot any moment, because he'll just have received an anonymous tip that one of his bookies has been skimming. Oh, the doorman is opening the door. Not Maroney, but any second now. What the devil? The Armbruster Arms leveled. 2 minutes from now, this is going to be a very unhealthy place to be. Time to go. You!
Ooh, so perceptive.
You blew up the Armbruster Arms.
2 for 2.
It wasn't hard to figure out. It had your ham-fisted fingerprints all over it. Let me guess. You undercut me. Again.
Well, they decided that 20 G's was too much to pay for a small fry like Maroney. So I said I would do it for 10.
Huh. You probably spent 10 grand just on the explosives.
Oh, it's not about the money. It's about being the best.
The best? The best at what? Being all the psychopath you can be?
Psychopath? I should kill you for that.
Exactly.
I'm making a name for myself. That's what up-and-comers do. But then, you wouldn't know about that, being washed up and all.
Oh, you've made a name for yourself, all right.
You bet I have.
As a homicidal maniac.
You should talk. The woman who gouged out Baron von Mühlhausen's eye with a melon baller.
I needed information, and he wasn't forthcoming. Besides, that doesn't count. I didn't kill him. Then.
And what about Romeo Renaud, the Playboy land swindler? You strangled him to death with a pair of silk stockings while he slept.
They were handy. I didn't want to attract the attention of his bodyguards. Plus, it's not like I used my own. Anyway, that's just one guy.
You blew up a busload of Bolivian nuns.
That's a dirty lie. They were Guatemalan.
Aha!
They were running guns to the rebels. How many lives did I save by sanctioning them?
Sanctioning them? That's a clinical euphemism for murder. Here you are, acting all morally superior with nun blood on your hands.
Well, I didn't enjoy killing them. But that was the job, and I followed it through. Now, you, on the other hand... Killing really excites you, doesn't it?
What can I say? I love my work.
A little too much.
And I take pride in it.
Taking pride in your work is poisoning a Central African dictator while leaving the rest of his dinner guests unscathed, not killing them all.
Oh, well, that wasn't me. It was Salmonella. Bad shellfish.
Look, you can deny and deflect all you want, but the fact remains that you just murdered some 50 people to get one man.
Well, maybe I should make it 51.
You can try.
Why waste my time? No money in it.
But you just said you weren't doing it for the money.
We'll just pick this up some other time. Blackwood.
Anytime, Valentina. With that, I beat a hasty retreat and headed for home. But a midnight telephone call from a most mysterious of men found me back on the Staten Island ferry the next morning, holding a private meeting in the most public of surroundings.
Ah, Miss Blackwood, always a feast for the eyes.
Ah, Mr. X, always dressed like a comic book supervillain. You know, if your objective is to not draw attention to yourself, you probably shouldn't wear a black mask with a question mark on it in public.
Well, it does suit my persona. Besides, we wouldn't have had to meet out in public if you would have simply accepted my invitation to the Fellowship of Flame secret headquarters.
No offense, but people who accept invitations there have a proclivity to disappear. And I don't trust men I don't actually know.
But you do know me, Anthea. I'm someone who's been ever so close to you for more than a decade.
You've been wearing that ridiculous mask the whole time.
Are you certain that I'm not someone else you know?
No, nor do I care.
But...
do we have to go through this every single time?
But...
do you have a job for me or not?
As you wish. I don't remember you being so churlish.
Having contracts agreed upon in good faith voided at the last minute tends to have that effect.
Still upset about me reassigning that Tenerife job to Valentina, I see.
Shouldn't I be?
My dear Anthea, Valentina could never take your place. I merely seek to encourage young talent.
You might encourage her to use a little more discretion. And by discretion, I mean not blowing up an entire city block to get one guy.
Yes, she does tend to attract unwarranted attention to our actions. Ah, well, the exuberance of youth. Besides, I have a new job for you. One that will pay 50 times your usual rate.
50 times? You mean...
that's right. $1 million.
$1 million. Okay, what's the catch?
Catch? Why, I don't know what you mean.
For $1 million, of course there's a catch. So what is it? Impenetrable security systems? Army of heavily armed bodyguards? Inaccessible location?
None of the above. A simple shooting, right here in town. Easy location, very modest security. Bang, and you're done.
If it's so simple, what do you need me for? A trained chimp with a steady trigger finger could do that.
Because we need it to look like the work of someone else.
Who?
Bishen Dabi.
The top Pakistani hired gun?
That's the one. He's renowned for using a very specific brand of ammunition.
Bulgarian Dunart, 6.62mm, which he personally handloads. I make it a habit of knowing the habits of my competitors.
So, you can make the hit look like it was done by Mr. Dabi?
Yes, I think so. But why?
You know better than to ask too many questions.
And you know better than to hand me a job offer without giving me the specifics. I'm a professional, not an attack dog you can just let off the leash.
You and your morals. Fine. We want you to assassinate the Indian ambassador to the United Nations. And to make it look like Pakistan is responsible.
But given the tensions between the two countries already, it could easily lead to war.
That is our sincerest hope.
Why?
That information is on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. Suffice it to say that the Fellowship of Flame, in keeping with its mission of organizing worldwide mayhem, would be greatly pleased with a war between India and Pakistan.
And how many tens of thousands dead would it take to upgrade that greatly pleased to absolutely ecstatic?
Don't tell me that the woman who eviscerated the entire Gamboli crime family with a broken Chablis bottle is going soft.
Soft? No. But there is a limit to what I will do.
Your 347 victims might beg to differ. If they could.
Every single one of them had it coming.
So your actions have all been guided by that shining moral compass of yours. I suppose the fact that every one of them had a price on their head had nothing to do with it.
I won't do it.
Are you quite certain about that?
Quite. In fact, I'm done.
Done?
Retiring from the business.
People don't retire from this business. Or if they do, that retirement is rather short-lived.
Well, I'm retiring.
Even now that you're in possession of some rather sensitive information?
Especially now that I'm in possession of some rather sensitive information. Does that present a problem?
No, not at all.
And I don't have to worry about anyone coming up behind me in a dark alley to retire me, right?
Rest assured that none of our operatives will take any sort of threatening action against you.
Well, that's reassuring. A promise from the anonymous head of a worldwide criminal syndicate.
I think our business here is done. So, how much longer till the ferry docks?
About 15 minutes.
Oh. I, guess I'll be going to the other side of the ferry now.
Enjoy the rest of your ride.
Oh, I will. And don't concern yourself about the Fellowship of Flame seeking retribution against you. Enjoy your well-deserved retirement, Anthea.
Needless to say, I took Mr. X's assurance at somewhat less than face value. With that in mind, I packed an overnight bag and headed up to a cabin I own in a remote part of the Catskills. There, I prepared for the inevitable, for I knew there was no hiding from the Fellowship of Flame, but at least I could hope not to involve any innocent lives in what was to come. As for any not-so-innocent lives, they're mine for the taking. I wait. That's an awkward position you've gotten yourself into halfway through a window. Completely defenseless. And I'll thank you to stay in that position. Valentina. Drop the machine pistol. You know, now I understand why you use such a scattershot approach to do your work. You're too incompetent to do it any other way.
My skill set is just fine.
Doesn't look like it from here. Which begs the question, how did you ever get into this business in the first place? Oh, wait. I just remembered. I don't care.
You'll care if I pull this?
A grenade belt. Of course.
One tug on this pin, and 10 seconds later, boom, we both go up in smoke.
And that seems like an acceptable plan to you?
If I go, you're going with me.
Except that with a 10-second delay, I'll have time to shoot you and run outside before the grenade goes off. Should have gone with a 5-second delay instead. And no, you do not get to change it now. There are no do-overs in the assassin game.
So now what? Or are you just going to leave me half in the window till I die of old age?
Oh, I think it's safe to say that you won't be dying of old age.
Look, if you're going to shoot me, just get it over with.
Haven't decided yet.
Haven't decided yet. You have gone soft.
You think so, do you? Why don't you come in, Valentina?
All right, I'm in. Now what?
Now? We wait.
Wait for what?
So, what song and dance did Mr. X give you to take this job?
Oh, Valentina, your talents are clearly apparent to the Fellowship of Flame. To take your rightful place as the world's top assassin,
go put the hit on Blackwood. It was just that easy, wasn't it? Your natural jealousy did all the rest.
Jealousy?
Yes, jealousy, because I'm the best.
Let me tell you something, miss. I'm the best. To those stuffed suits at the Fellowship of Flame, you're some kind of legend. But to me, you're just another has-been, living off her reputation.
You'll be learning otherwise any minute now.
What's going to happen then? Gunning me down in cold blood won't prove anything.
No, that's not what I meant.
Surround the cabin. Kill them both.
That's what I meant.
You heard the masked man. Spread out.
What?
Oh, don't act surprised. How did you think this was going to go down?
But the Fellowship of Flame, We have a contract.
It's awful when someone breaks a contract with you, isn't it?
I don't understand.
Oh, you silly goose. Mr. X didn't hire you to kill me because he expected you to succeed. He just wanted to get you up here so that he could bring a team of cleaners up to do us both.
What? Why would he want to kill me?
You're asking the wrong person.
I'm being serious.
So am I. Pick a reason. Most likely it's because he views you as a liability. Too sloppy in your methods, possessing too much damaging information, whatever. Not much fun walking around with a bullseye on your forehead, is it?
No.
Look, I won't pretend that we have anything but distaste for one another, but...
Distaste?
Fine. Bitter, soul-consuming hatred. But we're in the same predicament. So what do you say we call a truce? Work together on a common goal. Namely, staying alive.
I don't need you. I can handle it myself.
Says the woman with no gun.
All right. For the moment. But as soon as this is over, you and I settle up. Once and for all.
Fine. Once we kill the opposition, we can kill each other.
So, who is the opposition?
Ma Beagle and her Beagle boys.
No, seriously.
I am serious. I know, terrible, terrible name. Don't underestimate them, though. Individually, they're nothing special. But there are a dozen of them, and there's Ma Beagle herself. As bloodthirsty as they come.
Everyone in place, because we got some killing to do.
Speaking of which, could you kill that light? I meant click off the switch.
Oh.
They shooting at us! Open fire!
Okay, here's what we need to do.
Look, just because we're allies, for the moment, doesn't mean you get to give me orders.
All right. What's your brilliant plan, then?
Fine. What are we doing?
See those luminous spots along the wall? Gun slits. Shoot and move. Do not stay in one spot for longer than a quick burst. Pick your targets, watch for the muzzle flash, and make every shot count. I'll work the other rooms. Once we whittle down their numbers, we move to phase two. Got it?
Got it.
Why? Two. Five.
Got one.
1,000 rounds expended, and she finally scores a hit.
I'm out.
There's an Uzi and spare mags under the love seat. It's getting too hot in here. Time to move to phase two.
Which is?
We lure a couple of them in, blow the place, then deal with the others in the brush.
And just how are we supposed to lure them in?
Shoot me.
Finally.
Pretend to have an argument with me. Then we'll act like we've mortally wounded each other.
Got it. I've had just about enough of you, Blackwood. So take this! Oh, you shot me! I'm dying! Dying!
Tone it down, Joan Crawford.
Do you really think they shot each other?
I don't know. Something smells fishy. Jay, Ray, go inside and check. You others, cover the windows in case they're playing possum and try to escape.
Are you certain it's wise to send just two of them in? Suppose it's a trap.
Nah, they're the two newest Beagle Boys. I ain't too attached to them yet.
But why not just burn them out?
You want to be sure we got them, right?
Yes, but...
Then we can't be burning the place up. You wouldn't want to be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life wondering if one of them gals got out, would you?
No, but...
Look, do I tell you how to wreak havoc on a global scale?
No.
Then shut your pie hole and let me do my job!
There's an escape hatch immediately to my right. Pull the pins on the grenades and follow me out. Save one, just in case. Leave the rest. Right?
Right.
Now! Seven, eight, nine...
I have a clean shot at the fella covering the south window.
No! You may get him, but you'll also give away our position. And we're sitting ducks here. We need to get into the brush before we do anything else. Okay, now you can shoot him. That leaves three and Ma Beagle.
What about Mr. X?
He'll be making a run for it any minute now. Mayhem's only fun for him when he's not on the receiving end.
Well, I, have important, business to attend to. World affairs. Paraguay.
X, you lily-livered polecat! They're over yonder in them bushes. Jed, Red, flank 'em. Cletus, you're with me!
So now what?
Well, due to Ma Beagle's lacking an indoor voice, we know where they're headed. So, we get there first, and we wait for him.
Ooh, so we're saving Ma for last. Good.
It just works out that way, but if the opportunity presents itself to take her out first, we take it. Never pass up a chance to cut the odds just to satisfy some petty need for revenge.
I'll keep that in mind.
Behind this tree. I'll go behind that one. Take that Beagle Boy on the left, I'll take the one on the right. Got it?
Got it.
Now! You do understand more isn't always better, right?
Yes, Mother. So now what? We flank Ma?
And shoot each other?
Well, that's coming soon enough as it is.
But not just yet.
No, not just yet. Come on.
All draw their fire. When one of them pops up to take a shot, you take your shot.
Got it.
There's Blackwood! Get her! Dag nabbit! Cletus was my favorite! Blackwood, you're gonna pay for that!
Hey, I'm not the one that shot Cletus.
Yeah, she's not the one who shot Cletus.
Let's settle up, Blackwood. Just you and me.
You sure about that, Ma?
Well, I ain't running off with my tail between my legs like Mr. X, so let's do this honorable-like and square off.
Okay. Deal.
Ignore me, will you, Ma? Yeah. I bet you won't do that again, huh, Ma? I'm out.
I was prepared to take her on.
I owed her. I owe you, too.
Too bad you're all out of bullets.
True. Ugh. Luckily, I had this knife and a sleeve holdout. If you'll excuse me, the new number one is going to leave you to bleed out now.
Congratulations. Enjoy it for your last few seconds.
What do you mean?
Lose anything?
The grenade pin!
So ends I, Assassin, by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Chantel Albers was Anthea Blackwood. Courtney Palm was Valentina. Jonathan Goldstein was Mr. X, and Catherine Kamei was Ma Beagle. I'm your host, Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Hey there, my name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We are an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle. A tax-deductible receipt. And a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
Countdown for blast off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire.
From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X minus one.
Tonight, the dramatization of a story by Jerry Sowell, The Seventh Order. Brentwood, Illinois, would have been just about like any other average community of 10,000 had it not been for Presser College, one of the country's finest small institutions of learning. Its residents were used to the pranks, the hazings, and the practical jokes of the students. But even Professor Ansel Tomlin was surprised when
The blue humanoid came down the street and up to the porch where the professor was sitting in an old wicker rocking chair.
Pardon me.
Of course.
You are Professor Ansel Tomlin.
Yes, and you, I take it, are somebody from one of my psychology classes dressed up as a sort of a robot.
No, I am George of Xanthar.
Who?
I am here to learn all I possibly can learn of the planet Earth and its inhabitants. Less than 10 minutes ago, I landed not far from here in a spaceship, which I subsequently blew up and destroyed.
Now, let me explain. I am Tomlin of Brentwood. Less than 10 minutes ago, I was sitting on my porch peacefully marking exam papers. I intend to resume right now. Helen, would you get the phone?
It is your wife's sister calling with reference to the explosion of my spaceship.
Sure it is.
She merely wants to ascertain that your family was not affected.
Listen, George, be a good fellow and...
Oh, Mike.
Well, don't be alarmed, dear. It's a fraternity initiation or something.
Oh, well, it does look like the real thing. Oh, did you know there was an explosion outside of town?
An explosion?
Yes, blast of undetermined origin is what they said on the radio.
Oh?
My sister just called. She heard about it in the local station and wanted to make sure we were all right.
I see.
Well, I have something in the oven. My goodness, that's a wonderful costume.
Her sister lives 20 miles away. How did you know she'd call?
My mind circuits are telepathic. They pick up all conscious thought. To a distance of some 200 miles.
It couldn't be you arranged the whole thing, that it wasn't really her sister. How did you get here? Who or what are you?
I am a machine, the finest, most complicated machine ever made. I have a rather unique history, too.
Who made you?
Ages ago, on Xanthar, there was a race of humans. They made the first robots. Rather crude affairs. We class them as first-order robots. They are still used for menial tasks to some extent.
And... what order are you?
The highest, naturally. A seventh order robot. Or rather, a humanoid. We are the first in which there is not an automatic, no harm to humans cutoff.
I begin to see.
You will become aware of the fact that I am superior to you and to the rest of your race. I need no oxygen. I am never ill. I need no sleep. Every experience is indelibly recorded on circuits and is instantly available.
Tell me, George... do you have feelings?
I have an electronically controlled endocrine balance.
That's very interesting. And what is your mission here on Earth?
For the moment, I am here to study. I will live with you until it is complete.
You will what?
I will live with you. I will be with you all of your waking hours. While you sleep, I will go through your library. I need nothing. I want nothing.
Now, just a moment. What about my privacy?
When you desire privacy, I will study someone else. Your wife, perhaps. The female should be interesting.
George, old man, I'm terribly sorry, but you'll have to wire back to your masters to make other arrangements.
That will be quite impossible.
Really?
You see, I have no masters.
Well, what about those humans back in Xanthar, the ones who invented you seventh-order humanoids?
Oh, they are all quite dead. We destroyed them.
Destroyed?
You look alarmed. It was, after all, they or us. You see, our endocrine system permits us pride in ourselves. Naturally, being proud of ourselves... we objected to being ordered about in an incompetent way. So,
you killed them.
Exactly. Now, shall we go inside and inform your wife of my visit?
Suppose I refuse.
Professor, do you see that small dog playing on the lawn across the street?
Yes.
I will lift my arm and point at it. Observe.
It vaporized.
Exactly. Now then. Shall we go in?
Yes. We'll go in.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. I see you've brought your friend.
Helen, this is George. George of Xanthar. George is a machine.
Well, anybody can see that. It's the most convincing costume I ever saw.
Helen, it isn't a costume.
No?
No. He's really a machine.
Oh.
He's staying with us.
What?
Whether we like it or not.
Well, really, Ansel.
We have no choice.
I am a seventh-order humanoid. I detect that your mind does not comprehend. I am here as an advanced scout for my race. After we establish a station here on Earth...
I don't like this. Now, would you be kind enough to leave my house, young man?
You are very slow to comprehend.
I comprehend that I have a lot to do, and I'd appreciate it if you leave. Otherwise, I'm going to call the police.
You may call anyone you choose, Mrs. Tomlin.
I'll have you arrested.
I assure you I can detect your intention long before you have time to do me any harm.
We'll just see about this. Hello? Get me the police.
Helen, it's useless.
I can follow the call through the phone wire. Captain Townsend will answer.
Captain Townsend.
Captain, I want to report a robot.
A what?
A thing. It won't leave my house.
Who is this?
I'm Mrs. Tomlin, Professor Ansel Tomlin's wife, 44 Crescent Road.
I'll send the car over.
Now we'll see.
This is the character that's been giving you trouble.
Yes, this is the one, officer.
I talked to you before about ruining the flower bed, Sonny. This time I'm taking you in.
I would advise you not to touch me. I cannot risk any damage.
I'll see about that. Come on outside.
I prefer to remain here until I complete my mission.
You do, huh? You know what this is?
It is a weapon you call a service revolver.
That's right. And you'll either march out of here or I'll use it on you.
That would be most unfortunate.
All right, come on.
Officer, let me warn you. He's dangerous.
March now. I'll count to three.
Officer, please.
One, two.
Oh, no.
I regret it, but he was actually going to pull the trigger. Only to frighten me. But I cannot risk damage. He might have miscalculated and struck me with a bullet.
And so... I'm frightened.
There is no need for fear. You have only to accept the fact that the Seventh Order is coming to operate the planet for your benefit.
Answer.
Helen, there's no use trying to do anything just yet. Now go next door to Mrs. Coleman. Tell her what's happened. I'll talk to George.
Oh, but I don't...
Please, Helen.
Well, all right.
Do you really think that you, a single robot, can conquer the Earth and make its people do your bidding?
I can.
Suppose it were demonstrated to you that you could not, that you could be destroyed.
If that were so, I would naturally report that this planet is unfit for development by the Seventh Order.
Well, you know they'll have you taken into custody for killing the officer.
I cannot permit it.
There will be needless slaughter.
Unless you can convince your people it is useless to attack me.
Will you let me try?
I have no desire to prevent you. Go ahead. I detect that you are going to call the newspapers and the local television station and hold a press conference.
Yes.
I also detect that you have a plan to overcome me.
Oh?
I like that.
Really?
Yes. You see, in order to test this planet for development, I must know whether any of you are truly dangerous to us. You are a superior type of man, Professor. I welcome any plan to conquer me that you care to attempt.
Okay, George. At least we know where we stand. I'll phone the newspapers.
Quiet, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Henry Bennett, broadcasting from a sound truck parked in front of the home of Professor Ansel Tomlin in Brentwood, Illinois. At the moment, Professor Tomlin is seated on his front porch. Next to him is a strange-looking blue robot-type creature, also seated on a chair. At the moment, we don't know if this is a hoax or not, but Professor Tomlin, a highly respected man here at the university, has called a press conference to introduce what is supposedly a creature from another planet. Professor Tomlin is about to speak, and we'll try to catch his words.
Quiet, gentlemen. I wish to present to you George of Xanthar. Just a moment, George. George is a machine, probably the most dangerous machine ever invented. He is telepathic as well. He can read your thoughts like a book. He knows exactly what each of you is thinking at this very instant.
Do you expect us to swallow this nonsense?
Not without proof, gentlemen.
Can George do his stuff for us? Let him tell me what I'm thinking right now.
You are thinking about a blonde young woman named Laura, with whom you will attend a show tonight.
Come on.
Well,
he happens to be right, but we've seen mind readers before. Let him do something else.
I did not call you gentlemen here for a demonstration of magic. I called you here in the hopes that a good deal of needless bloodshed might be avoided. Less than half an hour ago, I watched this creature completely vaporize a policeman who was trying to arrest him. I expect that the authorities will be here any minute. I hope I can convince you and them that it is futile.
Either you're nuts or you think we are. I don't believe this machine killed a cop. If a cop was killed, a human did it, trying to blame it on the machine.
Gentlemen, I don't know how I can prove it. Perhaps if George will demonstrate his ability to vaporize...
Observe the oak tree in the front yard. Now.
Now? Do you see?
I see, but I don't believe it. Boys, this is some kind of mass hypnotism. Maybe the tree was rigged up in advance.
I swear to you...
George's after is always cranked up to be. Let's see what he does when I toss a rock at
him. Now, don't be a fool.
Here goes, George!
Stop him! I warned you. I tried to warn you.
Okay, everybody stand back. Stand back! Charlie, get an automatic rifle set up.
Check team.
Professor, I advise you to step away from that kidnapper.
Captain, for your own sake, don't try anything.
Step away, Professor.
Very well, but I warn you.
Okay, now don't fire till I'm ready, boys.
Right.
Now then, George of Watches, we don't know what, who's inside that tin suit, but I'm giving you just 10 seconds to come out.
Captain, I...
Hey, you're one on suspicion of murder. Now come out. All right, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid we'll have to terminate our broadcast. What started out as a good-natured hoax or publicity stunt has turned into a bloody massacre, as the bodies of some 6 policemen on the lawn of Professor Tomlin's home will attest. I don't know exactly what is happening here, but I can say this. George of Xanthar is no hoax. He or it is the spearhead of a race from outer space that's come to conquer the Earth.
Have they all gone, Helen?
Yes.
Where is he?
In your library, reading.
Are the policemen still outside the house?
They're walking up and down. Oh, I hope they don't...
Yeah, they have orders not to try to harm him.
Ansel?
Yes?
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Oh, listen. He's coming. Mm.
Professor, Mrs. Tomlin... I have decided to walk through your town to learn more about its buildings and people.
And kill a few more humans?
Killing humans affords me no pleasure whatsoever. I kill only when damage to myself is possible. I hope that no one will attempt to harm me.
George, let me warn you now that this affair has gone beyond the confines of this town.
I am well aware of that, Professor. I am aware of a phone call being made this instant by your mayor to the commander of the Illinois State Guard.
If you're smart, you'll return to your ship and your planet.
My ship is destroyed. I could instruct you to build a new one, of course. But as I have no intention of leaving...
Then you will be destroyed.
No. I will destroy first.
Have you no conscience?
A conscience is a fifth-order failing. Needless baggage. Good evening.
Hello, Professor Tomlin. Yes. Yes, I will.
Who was it?
The mayor and the chief of police have called a meeting of the citizens of Brentwood at the college gymnasium tonight.
Ansel, you're not going.
I must.
But no,
Helen, there's much more at stake here than my life or yours. Civilization itself depends upon our standing up to this machine. I'm going to the meeting.
As mayor of Brentwood, I call this meeting to order. As you know, there is loose in our city a being with one purpose, to prepare it for conquest by similar being. I think Professor Tomlin can tell us most about this being.
Well, If we could determine the source of George's power, he might be overcome. He is obviously vulnerable to force, such as a speeding bullet if it hit the right spot. However, he has the ability to read intent long before the commission of an act. He is probably listening to me now, even though he may be far away.
Now,
Mr. Mayor, why not track him down and all attack at once? Some of us would probably die, but he couldn't strike us all dead at once.
Oh, it's bombing!
Gentlemen, this humanoid is able to keep track of several hundred things simultaneously. As a matter of fact...
Gentlemen! You are working yourselves up needlessly. You simply do not appreciate what it would mean to dedicate yourselves to the fulfillment of the Seventh Order destiny. Your lives will be made most pleasant and happy by us.
Yeah? Why did you kill six cops?
If you're so powerful, bring them back to life.
How do you want to be buried, Roy?
Yeah, let's get them, man.
And eyewitnesses report that in the end, when all were gone, George of Xanthar stood alone on the platform of the gymnasium. There was no movement except the twitching of the dead and those trampled by the crowd. Among the survivors was Professor Ansel Tomlin, who originally...
Well, that's that.
What next?
I don't know, Helen. I don't know.
Oh, what's that?
It sounds like an air raid alert.
That's peculiar. Yeah. They didn't announce it.
Turn on the radio. Hurry. Yeah.
We interrupt to bring you a special message. All residents of Brentwood are advised to go to their basements or convenient bomb shelters. The governor has announced that units of the National Guard have managed to corner the robot, George of Xanthar, in the town square. Oh. Tanks and mortars will be used in an attempt to destroy the creature. Again, go to your nearest bomb shelter.
Oh, did he hear?
They'll never be able to destroy him.
Well, where are you going?
Up to the roof.
The roof?
I can see the square from there.
Well, I'm coming with you.
Just as you like.
What's happening?
He's vaporizing every tank and gun they bring up.
Oh, Ansel, let's get away from here. Oh, what's that?
Those are army jets. We'll see how effective he is now. Lord, a whole squadron up in smoke. It's no use. Can't you see it's no use?
Ansel, come inside, please.
Very well.
Oh, if only there was something we could do to tell
him. Not as long as he can read our every conscious thought before we can act.
What is it?
Our every conscious thought. Our thought. I wonder if...
What is it, Ansel?
Nothing, Helen.
And the army reports that the countryside around Brentwood is deathly still. The blue humanoid, George of Xanthar, is still standing in the middle of the town square, where he's been standing for 3 days now. We'll keep you informed of developments. The military urges everyone to keep calm and go about your business as usual. There is no danger to anyone who is not attacking the humanoid.
No danger. What's to keep more of them from landing? Ansel, are you going to sit there with your head in your hands forever?
Mm.
Well, come have some dinner. Mm. Ansel?
Mm. Yeah, it might work.
Where are you going?
Washington.
What?
I'm going to Washington. Would you be good enough to pack my overnight bag? I can catch a plane out of Chicago in about 2 hours.
But why? Well, what for?
I'm going to talk to the Pentagon.
What do you tell them?
I'm going to tell them to surrender to George of Xanthar.
Our microphones are here at the edge of the town square in Brentwood, Illinois today, ladies and gentlemen, to witness the most unusual spectacle of modern history. A discussion of terms whereby the United States of America may surrender to the humanoid George of Xanthar. For the occasion, an honor guard of 22 servicemen from all branches and all parts of the country has been chosen. In just a moment, the honor guard will accompany General of the Armies Walter Pitt, who will discuss the surrender.
Hello!
The honor guard is advancing to the edge of the square.
Cover there!
The robot is standing there now, carefully eyeing the soldiers. Every ounce of his concentration seems to be going into it. Actually, we're told his telepathic circuits are probing their minds for some hint of danger. A thought, a flicker of an eyelash, may be sufficient for him to vaporize all of them. General Pitt is about to speak.
George of Xanthar.
I hear you, General.
I have been instructed to consult with you about your intentions toward our country and the world in general, with a view to reaching some sort of agreement with you and others of your kind, who you say will invade the Earth.
May I approach?
One moment. I perceive no intent to harm me. There is one man among your soldiers, however, who has an illogical thought. Will the soldier who is thinking the thought, 11 o'clock, step closer?
Do as he says.
Does 11 o'clock mean anything to you, soldier?
No, sir. It's running through my mind, but it don't mean a thing to me.
My examination of your thoughts tells me you speak the truth. Very well. We will proceed with the talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a tense moment. The general and the humanoid are discussing terms. The soldier who was questioned about the thought, 11 o'clock, has stepped back into the ranks and is holding his rifle at attention like the others. I perceive it's now 10:59 a.m. If there is any significance to the thought about which the soldier was questioned, we'll know in 1 minute.
We of Xanthar, gentlemen, would not want to improve a planet which could not be educated and would continually oppose our program. Therefore, I am glad to see your willingness to discuss. After my message goes out, there will be a landing party on Earth within a few days. While waiting for the party, however, there are certain preparations.
Just list them for us.
Your government will naturally have to turn over complete authority to us. Afterward, we will utilize your press and radio to disseminate our instructions to your people. Simultaneously, in other nations, the same procedure will be carried out by our rep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's happened at exactly 11 a.m. 10 soldiers in the honor guard instantaneously fired their weapons into George of Xanthar. Apparently, explosive bullets have blown him to smithereens. The remains are lying scattered all over the square. People are pouring in, kissing each other, shouting.
Wonderful?
Wonderful, really wonderful. I'm sorry I couldn't come home sooner. It would have spoiled my whole plan if I'd gotten within telepathic range.
Your plan?
Yes.
But what? How? What?
Just a matter of simple psychology. Those men in the honor guard.
What about them? Did you know any of them?
Not exactly, but I did have the job of hypnotizing 10 of them.
Hypnotized?
That's right. You see, each of those men was hypnotized. And while he was under, we planted a post-hypnotic suggestion, namely, to fire at George of Xanthar when a soldier named Charlie started to cough. Charlie was told to cough at 11 o'clock. Before we released them from hypnosis, we told them to erase everything from their conscious memories. I was staking everything in the hope that George could only tune in on the conscious mind, not the subconscious, and it worked.
Oh.
Yeah, there was nothing to be reached by George's prying mind, so we never knew what was going to happen. At 11 o'clock, the soldier named Charlie coughed. The men raised their guns and fired. And that was the end of George of Xanthar. Now, if you don't mind, I've got some exam papers to mark.
On a planet many millions of miles away, a red light, one of many on a giant control board, suddenly winked out. A blue humanoid made an entry in a large book, System 29578. Planet 3 inhabited. Too dangerous for any kind of development. You have just heard X-1 presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features the Alan Cogan story titled In the Cards. It was one thing to safeguard the future, but something else to see someone you love cry in terror 2 years from now. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Seventh Order, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Jerry Sowell and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were James Monks, Nelson Olmsted, Kate Wilkinson, James Rafferty, Dick Hamilton, Reese Taylor, Jim Stevens, Robert Hastings, Wayne Chappelle. The commentator was W.W. Chaplin, your announcer Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production. The Wonderful World of Robert Benchley on Biography and Sound tonight on NBC Radio.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
And that's all the time that we have for Scald's Hall tonight. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here in Vancouver, please have happy holidays.